Good morning and welcome again to Central Assembly. I'm Kyle Hammond. I'm the student ministries pastor here. He's our interim pastor, and Pastor Tom, as Mike said, are in Orlando this week. And so I get the privilege and honor to speak to you this morning. If you want to go ahead and pull out your notes in the bulletin, they are going to look a little different than normal, but this is intentional and should help you track with me a little bit better. This is what I'm used to. I'm actually preaching off the same sheet that you are looking at. And so this will definitely help you track with me better. I know the print may be a little small for the scriptures in there, but it will be on the screen as well, and you can follow along in your Bible this morning. Well, my wife was just singing. Isn't she pretty? She's pretty and she can sing. How did I end up with that? Only because God blesses us. And she is a blessing in my life. And that was my sister-in-law singing with her. And I was glad that they could sing with us this morning. This weekend actually marks the two-year anniversary, if you want to call it, that I've been here at Central. I came in August 1st of 07. It's hard to believe that it has been 2 years, but it has been an honor and just such a blessing to serve at such a great church. It's just been a great ride so far. We're looking forward to the future here at Central and what God's going to do. And can I just brag on our students for a minute? We have great students here at Central. Do we got some students in the house today that can say amen to that? Is that it? Yeah. I'm giving you a shout out. Give me a shout back. Come on now. Weak. But we have great students. You wouldn't be able to tell by that response, but they are great. And last weekend, we did our Speed the Light fundraiser called Dash for Cash, and many of you helped and participated in that. And our students did various things. We paired them up, we put them on teams, and we sent them out into the community and all over with leaders to say, you have all day from 9 a.m. to 5 at night to raise as much money as you can, doing whatever you want as long as it's not illegal, immoral, or sinful. So they did various things. Some of you attended the banquet that we had here that they put on. Our students did great stuff. And it was a rainy day, and it kind of put a damper on things, no pun intended. And some of our garage sales and stuff didn't work out as how we wanted them to go. But our students raised just under $3,000 in that time period for missions. And so that's an awesome thing that they did that. And the cool thing was is that we had a prize that we were given the winning team. We said, whatever team raises the most money in that time, we'll come back, we'll count it. They get a free trip down to Whitewater, the water park in Branson. We'll spend the night, we'll have fun, we'll do all this stuff. And the students that were raising the money, they said, you know what? They went to their team leader and said, we know that we won and that's great, but we realize that that's going to take money away from missions if we have to go and pay for that. That's an expensive thing to do. So why don't we just forget the prize and you guys keep that and give that money to missions as well. And so I just thought that spoke to the heart of our students. It was just so proud. Pastor Sherry and myself, we are just so honored to be able to serve great students that love God and to have a heart like that, to say, look, it's not about me. It's about missions, and we want to see that move forward, and to give that up just really spoke volumes. And so it's a blessing to serve here and get to minister to great students week in and week out. Well, today I've titled my message Illuminate, and illuminate simply means to light up. And the reason that I called it that is because God has commissioned us and given us a command to illuminate our world, because as we all know, the world is a dark place. It's very dark. If we could just to look at some statistics real quick. We know that sexual immorality and idolatry is polluting our culture and our world. There's 42 million babies are aborted yearly worldwide. That's 115,000 a day. 17,000 people are murdered every year in the U.S. Since 1981, 33 million people have died from AIDS. 27 million people are in modern slavery today. 1 million of them are children that are exploited by the commercial sex trade. 80% of those are young girls. 24,000 people die daily from starvation. 2,000 children die a day from malaria. And the list could go on and on and on. You see, there's no question about it that our world is a dark place. But that's nothing new to us. It's nothing new to our world. It's nothing new to God. You see, when sin entered the picture, back in the garden, the world became dark. Since the biblical times and starting way back then, we've had idolatry, we've had murder, we've had deception, deceit. All these things have been going on for a long time. You know, at night, you can turn on the news, and sometimes it can be quite depressing, to be honest, right? I mean, you just see all the problems that are going on in our world. And as I watch the news with Jess often, I can find myself becoming critical of our leaders and things that are happening in our world. And I can even find myself complaining about it, to be honest with you. I can't believe they would do that. Why would that happen? How could that man hurt a little kid like that? How could that person do this or that? Find ourselves complaining about it, or maybe even fearful. Overwhelmed may be a good word to say, this world's dark. How can we illuminate a world like this? It's so dark. There's so much going on. How can we make a difference? But you see, today, if you want to fill this in, is that God hasn't called us to complain about it. He's called us to change it, to illuminate it. And I can find myself in the same position as you, complaining, being critical. Sometimes I feel God has called me to complain. Amen. But he never called me to complain. He called me to change it. In Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father." The world is dark, but thankfully, God has given us His light. And He's empowered us to illuminate our world. He's challenged us and commissioned us to go into all the world and to illuminate a place that is dark and away from Him. So there's no question today, these were Jesus' words written in red in my Bible, telling us that this is our calling, not to complain, but to change our surroundings, to illuminate a dark world. But how do we do that? I mean, you've heard that since you were little, right? You guys remember the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine"? Thanks for feeling that with me and joining in. Like I said, she sings, I preach. Amen. But we've heard that for a long time. How do we do that, though? I mean, how can we be a light when the world is so dark? It's overwhelming. What difference can one light make in a place that's so dark? Well, I believe in John 15, if you want to go ahead and turn there, that's where I'm going to be primarily speaking from this morning. Jesus tells us how we can be a light to the world. You see a little background here. In chapter 13, we find Jesus is at the Last Supper with his disciples. These are his last words to them. This is his last time that he's really going to sit with them and teach and speak into their life. And he begins to show them what true servanthood really is. And we've all know the passage where he washes their feet. He tells them, "No servant's greater than their master. You do as I have done." Then he begins to tell them how he's going to be leaving, that it's his time to go. But he promises them that the Holy Spirit is going to come, that the counselor is going to come, and he's going to empower them and lead them and change their lives and enable them to be what God's called them to be. And then in John 15, this is where Jesus says that he's the true vine and that his disciples are to remain in him. And that if they do that, they can do anything. And so today, how do we let our light shine? How are we going to shine? And simply today, the first point is this, is that if we are going to shine, the first thing that we have to do is we have to get connected. There's no rocket science behind this point this morning. It's very basic. Get connected. But Jesus said in John 15:4, "Remain in me, connect to me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Getting connected is the first thing that we have to do. Connected to the vine, to our power source. Acts 1:8 says, "You will receive power to be my witnesses." Famous scripture for us Pentecostal believers to say, the reason that we can be the witness, to be the light, to illuminate the world that God has all sent us to, this dark world, he says, you will have the power from my Holy Spirit living inside of you. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that powerful Spirit now is living in you and empowers you to be my witnesses, to be the light. See, one of my favorite athletes of all time and arguably the best basketball player ever to live is Michael Jordan. I could tell you this morning that Michael Jordan went to North Carolina University, that he was drafted by the Chicago Bulls, that he had multiple championships. I could ramble stats on and on and on about his life and facts about him. But if I just listed through those things and shared statistics with you this morning, would any of you believe that me and MJ are really tight and close? That's no proof of a personal relationship, is it? That's just knowledge that I have about this man. And you see, knowing about God and actually knowing him are two very different things. Knowing about who Jesus is and actually having a personal relationship with him are very different. You see, many of us in this room have degrees. We're educated. Praise God, Southwestern Assembly of God University, 2004 in Waxahachie, Texas. Degree in church ministries with a specialization in youth ministry. I'm educated. Many of you are educated. Many of you have knowledge of the scriptures and know all about God. But getting connected doesn't mean that we just have head knowledge, but that we have a heart relationship with Jesus Christ, that we are connected to the true vine, that we have the power that we need by developing a relationship where God speaks to us and we speak to him, and the Spirit is living with inside of us and leading and guiding our lives. That is what it means to be connected. My great-grandmother was 92 when she passed away, and my great-grandfather was a preacher. She was a pastor's wife, from the time that I was just a little guy, my great-grandfather would say, this one's going to be my preacher right here. He knew, even when I was a baby, that I was going to preach. I didn't even know until I was 16. And my family would try to say, all right, Dad, well, if that's what he wants to do, he'd say, no, that one's going to be my preacher. So a great family. And my grandfather passed away, my great-grandfather, when I was 8 years old. And when I was in high school, I'd go back to visit my great-grandmother. And weekly, I'd go over in the summertime and cut her grass for her. She lived by herself up until about a year, until she passed away. And so I'd go over and I'd take care of her yard and cut it. And without fail, every time I was done, I'd come inside. And my great-grandma, Connie Mom, would have a grilled cheese sandwich and a Diet Pepsi that was probably older than me. And it was so gross, but I drank it. And in her old age, her cooking skills had taken a decline. The grilled cheese was often burnt. But I would sit there and I would eat, and in her living room there, as I sit on the couch, there was a chair and a table and then another chair. It was her chair and then her table, and then it was my great-grandfather's chair. And that chair had sat empty for many years. But I would go in and her Bible would be open. 90 years old, and I would sit there and she would tell me about what God was speaking into her life that morning as she was reading the scripture. At 90 years old, her personal relationship with God, she had all the knowledge, the years, the experience, the ministry, but she still loved and was connected to God. And although that chair sat empty for many years as she lived on after her husband's death, I know every day that Jesus was sitting right there next to her. You'd come into a room with her and you couldn't help to know that she had been spending time with the Lord. That impacted my life. Spoke to me about knowing God and being connected to him. You see, we're all meant to shine because this world is dark. But the thing is that we have to realize is just like Connie Mom, you have to daily get connected to the power source. I have a lamp right here, just a normal lamp. Stole it from my wife's side of the bed this morning. And I've tested this out. This lamp works. Everything about it is complete. The light bulb works. Switches work. It's made well. But this lamp is no good right now. I could try to turn it on. It's not going to work. Why? It's very simple. Again, Pastor Bradford would be proud of my rocket science engineering skills here. It's not plugged in. But when you plug it in, it works. Wow. When it's connected to the power source, it functions the way that it's supposed to. But many of us try to function and be the light to the world that we've called to be, and we're not connected. And we're wondering why we're not having any effect on our world, why nothing's changing around us. But at 90 years old, my great-grandmother, I was certain, was plugged in and connected to the power source. You will receive power to be my witnesses. We can't live the life that God has called us to live, to be the light, unless we're plugged in. We can't be the light of the world unless we're connected to our power source. So if we're going to shine, we have to get connected. And that means that you're spending time in God's Word and developing a personal relationship where you're praying to Him and He's speaking to you, where the Spirit is actively living inside of you and moving your life and guiding the things that you do, that you're connecting with other believers in a great church like Central and taking advantage of the ministries that are offered to you, attending Sunday school, small groups, getting connected. Our purpose and our mission at this church is to connect you to God, each other, and your purpose in life. But the first thing that we have to connect to is Jesus. We've got to be plugged in. He told his disciples, remain in me. Get plugged into me, connected to me, and see what you can do. So we have to get connected, but the harder part of that is staying connected. Not only do we have to get connected, we have to stay connected. Getting connected is really kind of the easy part. But staying connected on a consistent basis, man, that's tough. It takes intentionality with your life and with your choices and how you spend your time and what you do. Again, John 15, 5 through 8, Jesus tells them, I am the vine, you are the branches. If, key word there, if a man remains in me, he already said, remain in me, plug into me, and if you remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. How do we show that we are a disciple of Christ? It's by remaining in him and allowing his Spirit, the power within us, to produce fruit in our life that shows evidence that we are light, that we are different than our world. Light of the world, illuminating our surroundings. One morning during one of the ice storms, the offices was closed and they called us and told us to stay home. And for some reason that day, I found myself watching Dr. Phil. Yes, I admit, I watched Dr. Phil. I don't know why I did. And that day, there was a special on text messaging, cell phones, and teenagers that text too much. Some of them are probably texting right now. Don't think I can't see you. Texting. Well, they had a 13-year-old girl on that day, and her parents were there, and Dr. Phil, you know, was doing his thing. He was working everything out. And this girl, 13 years old, had texted in a 30-day period over 15,000 times. I mean, you break down the waking hours that she's, I mean, it's multiple times a minute that she is connecting to her friends and texting. It's insane. I mean, I feel like I can text with the best of them, but 15,000 in a month. They call this a blackberry, but some people call them crackberries because they're just that addicting. They stay and you can connect. And you see, that's a choice that she was making as a 13-year-old girl to connect to her friends through text messaging. And for you, it may be something different. It may be the television. It may be Facebook, Twitter. All these things that are available for us to stay connected to our friends, to our world. And we make the choice to choose which one we want to do. To stay connected. It's all about being connected. Gotta be connected. And today, we have to make sure that our priority isn't just Facebook and friends. There's nothing wrong with those things. But that you are choosing with intentionality and consistency in your life to connect to your power source. To connect to God. Everything's going to pull for your time, but we have to make sure we prioritize. Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, again, small groups, Sunday school, events. I feel that if you take advantage of the ministries that we have here at Central, it's going to be hard for you not to be connected to God, to other believers, and to your purpose in life. And in fact, if I can just pause for just a minute and maybe talk to our parents, and thankfully I have the opportunity to do that today, and I just want to share my heart with you. We have great students, and they are tremendously talented. And I've been in different churches and served, and this is probably the church where our students are the most busy that I have ever seen before. They're in soccer and football and all these extracurricular activities and drama, and they're talented, and that's great, and we believe in their talents, and we support that and try to help them develop those things so that they can be involved and do things. But oftentimes I see, because they're so busy, that the priorities can get a little mixed up. And we can see our attendance over in Fusion just go up and down, and it's all because of the busyness of our students. It's not because they don't love God. It's not because they don't feel that it's important. It's just because they're busy. And as parents today, can I just encourage you to make sure that your students are getting connected to a ministry that's going to feed their spiritual side of their life, that's going to allow them to connect to other believers that they go to school with, that's going to put a leader in their life, that's going to mentor them and encourage them and challenge them to make sure that they are connected to God, that they are being a light to their world, because they're connecting to something and to someone. And I pray that it's God. Oftentimes, parents will ask me to sit down and speak with their student that's going through a hard time, And I have to be honest with them and go, I really don't know your student. They go, well, this is their youth ministry. I said, but I don't ever see them. I don't have a relationship with them. And the relationship that they have of people that are speaking into their life are outside of this place. And today my heart is this, is that your student grows up to be a serving God and fulfilling the purpose that God has on their life. And so I ask you on Wednesday nights, even though soccer practice ran late and they have homework and you worked hard all day, to make this a priority for your students to get connected and plugged in. It could mean the difference for their life and their walk with the Lord. We have great ministries here, a new community on Wednesday nights that we offer for families so that parents have a place. And our prayer service on Wednesday night is a great place for you to get plugged in and connected. That the ministries are available, but if you could just make them a priority for your family, to make sure that you're not just getting connected every once in a while, but that you are staying connected every day of your life. You see, not only do we have to choose to connect to Christ consistently, we also have to make sure that we keep a clear connection. Again, my BlackBerry is serving as a good illustration today. But the reason that this may not work, or that it does work, is because of two things. That it would not work is because I'm either too far away from the tower, my signal's really low, or there's something that's blocking the reception. If you go into a metal building, you know, and there's a lot of things that are kind of in the way of the signal, you can see your signal drop low. Isaiah 59, 1 through 2 talks about this. It says, listen, the Lord is not too weak to save you, and he is not becoming deaf. He can hear you when you call, But there is a problem. Your sins have cut you off from God. Because of your sin, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. How many of you remember the Verizon Wireless commercials before the dead zone things? By the way, those commercials are a little creepy. My wife wants to turn the station because she gets scared when the music comes on. But it was the Verizon guy, and he would go all over the world, and he'd get to a place, and he would go, and he'd say, "Can you hear me now?" He'd go to some other crazy place, and, "Can you hear me now?" Advertising that no matter where you go, you're going to have a great signal. And I think that that's a question as believers that we should continually ask God about our lives. That, "God, the places that I'm going, can you hear me now? Is the connection still clear?" You see, if I'm in a place and my signal is and the reception's bad and someone's cutting up, I immediately will look to my phone and see how many bars do I have. And I'll go, "Hey," they'll go, "Hey, you're breaking up." And they'll be like, "Well, hey, my bars are full, man. You better check yours. It's on your end, not mine." And that's the question that we have to ask. Have we allowed things, sin, disobedience, bitterness, unforgiveness, a bad relationship, say, "Hey, well, I'm connected, but the signal's just not clear." Or maybe today you're a little far from the power source, the tower that's giving you the signal that you need. And my question to you today would be this, and you can fill this in, is how strong are the God bars in your life? The signal, the connection between you and God, how strong is it? If you ask yourself, "God, can you hear me now?" what would he say? You see, it's not that God's becoming deaf and he can't hear us, but we allow things to block our connection to him. Can you hear him? With the way you're living your life, with the lifestyle that you have, with the time and the places that you go, the people that you associate with, can you hear God? Is your signal strong? You see, we have to have a strong signal. We have to have full bars in our relationship with God because he's called us to be a light. And if our signal's no, our light gets dimmer. And we need it to be bright because the world's dark. It's a dark place. So the reasons that we have to get connected and stay connected is because God has called us to do that. Saint Alphonsus Liguori said, "Nothing but self-will can separate us from God." It's our own choice that we make, choosing to connect or disconnect to the things that we do. I think God's calling us today and asking, can you hear me? Can you hear him now? We have to get connected and stay connected because God has called us to live his light. To live his light. John 15, 12 through 17, he says, "My command is this." Commands are not optional. This is Jesus telling his disciples, this is what you're going to do. You're going to love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I've made known to you." Verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit and fruit that will last. The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other." Earlier when Jesus was speaking to them, he said, "If you love me, you will obey me." And then he says, "And this is my command, that you love one another." How do we live the light in a dark world? It's by loving people the way that Jesus has commanded us to do. The reason that he says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you," to stay connected to the power, is so that you will have the ability to love people that you normally don't have the ability to love on your own. The Bible says in Corinthians that God is love. And that when we love people, we are expressing and reflecting to them the very nature of who God is. Jesus commanded them to live this way, to love one another, to be light, to have fruit that lasts, the fruit that reflects my light and my truth that's living inside of you. To love each other. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14 says, "For you were once in the darkness." And that's something I feel like we can't forget either. That if it wasn't for someone being the light to me, I'd still be in the darkness. And that's why it's so important, because I remember what it was like in the darkness. I remember the feeling that I had, the hopelessness. And we have to realize that others are still there. And so Ephesians says, you were once there, but now you are in the light of the Lord. He's illuminated himself to you. So live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is even shameful to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For the light makes everything visible. What does it make visible? The truth and the love of God becomes visible to those in the darkness, that you expose to them the state that they're living in and say, look, there's something better for you. There's a great clip from a movie called Bruce Almighty that I feel illustrates this a little bit better. Let's take a look.
Well, hello there, Bruce Almighty. You want to see a miracle, son? Be the miracle.
You see, Bruce, world was a little chaotic, and like you may not agree with everything in that movie, and I don't necessarily either, especially the fact that God is a New York Yankees fan. Don't see how that could even be possible. But it illustrates the point that, you know, oftentimes we want God to change everything for us. God, why would you let this happen? Why do you allow these things to go on in our world? Why is the world so dark, God? And in this clip, he says, look, people want me to do everything, but what they don't realize is that I've already given them the ability to do it for themselves, to change their surroundings. And he says, look, Bruce, if you can't see the miracle that you're looking for, you have to be the miracle. And that's the same thing in our world. Yes, this world is dark. Yes, it can be scary. It can be overwhelming. But if you can't see the light, Jesus has said, be the light. Live my light. Reflect the hope that has been given to you to a world who's looking for it. If we can bring the lights down one more time. See, this room is a very big room. In fact, kind of scary at night if it's dark and you ever have to walk through here. Churches are kind of creepy like that. See what I mean? It's dark. It's very dark. But one light, this small little lamp, when it gets turned on, can make a big difference. I can see many of your faces, and as you can see, I'm very illuminated with just one light. One light exposes the darkness. It penetrates the darkness that we're surrounded with every day. But you see, the problem is that some of us in here, it's easy to let your light shine. And this should be a place where you get charged up and filled with God's Spirit and empowered. But when you walk out of those doors, it's often easy for us to get overwhelmed and turn it off. And we play this game where we are on and off. You can bring the lights back up. But see, God has said, to live in my light means that you go into a dark place and that you consistently let your light shine before men so all can see. You see, we can't forget that the world, that everybody has their own world. You have people that you influence that God has brought into your life, neighbors, family members, friends, coworkers, that he says, look, I've called you and commissioned you to be the light, so don't ever turn it off. When you hear those conversations and when you have the ability to step in and to pray with someone at work and it's out of the box and it's scary and it's a dark place, don't turn it off. Leave it on. Be the light. You see, I have family members who are bound by addictions. I have neighbors that live on either side of me that I know that need God. We all go to the gym and work out, and those people that we interact with or the doctor that you visit on a consistent basis, people in your life that need you to be the light. And to really live his light means you're connected. You got to get connected. You have to stay that way. Luke says, pick up your cross and follow after me daily, connecting to me. And then you have to leave it on. You can never turn it off. This is the place where you are charged. You're powered up to go out and illuminate your world. You see, because in Matthew again, it says, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say you're the light of the church. You're the light to your Christian friends. You're the light to the world. He says, don't hide it. Let it shine for everyone. Go and illuminate your world. Why can we do that? Because God has given us, because of Jesus Christ, the ability to have direct access to Him. He has empowered us with His Holy Spirit to be the witnesses that He's called us to be. We have everything at our fingertips to be the light if we simply will just connect to it and spend time with Him and develop that. Because here's the last thing, and it's the worship team, or as Justin comes. And Matthew 5 simply says this: don't blend in, stand out. Stand out. Expose the darkness. One light can make a huge difference in a room of this size, but what if everybody's light was on? We can illuminate this whole place. I believe that if the people who are following after God, called by Him, would simply let their light shine, live His light, I believe this dark world wouldn't be so dark anymore. He's given us everything we need. He's empowered us. The world is looking for the light. Remember when you saw the light for the first time and what it did in your life. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey me. He said, here's my command. Love each other. Be a light to your world. Illuminate it. I would ask everyone to stand, and if our prayer partners would come forward. I'm going to close with this scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures in Acts 4:13. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they had just been filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered. And they were preaching God's word. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Connie Mom, without a doubt, the impact she made on my life when I was just a student. Go to her house, I'd leave that place knowing she may have been shut in, living alone, but she was with Jesus, and I could tell. And as a student, it astonished me. Look, I'm unschooled, really. Just an ordinary guy, too. Just like you. But if we will get connected to Christ, people will be astonished by your light. His will is that none should perish. He came to seek and save lost people. But Jesus, as He was talking to His disciples here in John, He left. He's gone. And He says, look, I'm giving you everything you need to carry on my mission. He's going to come back someday. But then, it's too late. We're the hope of the world, church. We are the hope of the world. The world's dark, no doubt. But you're meant to shine. But you got to be with Jesus. He says, apart from me, you can't do it. Don't even try to do it. It won't happen. But with me, just get connected. See what I'll do. See what I'll do. Today, maybe you're here. And maybe you've never made a connection to God. Maybe it's your first time in a church. Jesus is here for you and enables you with boldness and courage to be able to approach Him and to connect to Him, so that you can have a personal relationship, not just head knowledge, but a heart relationship with Him. Or maybe you're here and you've been connected, but it's an on and off thing. Sometimes you are, sometimes you aren't. Or maybe your priorities aren't where they need to be. You haven't been staying true and committed to the things that Christ has called you to do. It's choosing Him every day, consistently choosing Him. Or maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I'm connected. Man, I'm empowered. But my light, I've been turning it off. I'm a little overwhelmed. I've been fearful. I've kind of been a complainer, critical of my world and leadership. God's saying today, you can change it. Making a commitment to him to say, God, I don't want to turn off. And the same courage and boldness that he gave Peter and John, he can give to you if you spend time with him. So this morning, Justin's going to play a song called Mighty to Save. And it says, our God is mighty to do great things if we'll allow him to use us to do it. In the bridge, it makes a commitment to say, God, I'm going to let my light shine so the whole world can see what you've done for me. As Justin plays today, I would challenge you, if one of these areas hit home with you, if God's moving in your heart today, take some time to be with him for just a moment. We'll come back in just a second and close out.
Everyone needs compassion.
God, we're thankful, Lord, that you made a way for us to have the connection that we need with the Father. Jesus, I pray for those this morning making commitments, God, to connect to you and to remain connected, God, to make sure that their priorities are in order. God, that you would help them. Lord, that you'd be the strength that they need, that your Spirit would empower them to be the witnesses that you've called all of us to be. And God, I pray as we all leave this place today and we go into a dark world, God, that we would be your light. Lord, that we would reflect your love and your hope to the people that you have brought into our life, that you have given us influence with. God, help us to be intentional with our relationships, that we would love each other, Lord, that we'd reach out to those who seem unreachable, God. God, that we'd love them like you loved us. And God, that we would be empowered to be a light, that we could illuminate our world. And God, if all of us do our part together, God, we can see this world changed through the power of your Spirit moving through our lives. So God, we invite that today, and we offer ourselves to that, and we commit to that. God, help us to illuminate our world, that lives could be changed forever. Help us to feel the importance, Lord, that the time is short, the need is great, that it's not just about us believing it, God, but it's about us living it, and that you are mighty to save if we will simply shine. So today, God, let our light shine for all to see, to bring glory and praise to your name. In Jesus' name, if you believe that, say amen this morning. So be it. Thank you for coming today and listening to me, the youth pastor. Come back next week. We'll have our normal team back here, but God bless you. Thanks again for visiting with us. If you are a visitor, please go to our lower foyer on the Boonville side and meet some of our leaders today. We'd love to connect with you. God bless you. Keep you safe this week. We'll see you next week.